Welcome to KHD Bible Study Podcast. My name is Reb Emanuel. I'm a teacher and an elder at Kehilat HaDerech Messianic Synagogue in New York City. Each week, I lead a detailed study from a Messianic Jewish perspective into the Holy Scriptures, chapter by chapter, adding historical context to the events, people, and places. Each week, passionate people gather to read the scriptures, discuss the significance, and ask questions that help to bring out a deeper understanding of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We hope you will join us as we explore the 12 prophets. Thank you for joining us tonight. Tonight is part three of three segments on the book of Zechariah. Tonight, we will be covering chapters 10 through 14, and we will receive, according to how well you listen and how well you read, you will receive a glimpse of the future of humanity. That is not a small statement. That is 100% true. If you take the time to listen to what we are going to be reading tonight, you will hear portions, a snapshot, a preview of what the future of humanity is. You know, ancient Egyptians believed so strongly in the afterlife that they built giant time capsules. We call them pyramids, but that was not what they were intended to be, at least in the eyes of the Egyptians. They were meant to be time capsules, aligned to star formations that they saw in the sky and filled with everything that Pharaoh would need to enter into the afterlife. Almost every culture on earth has some version of the afterlife. Christianity believes our ultimate destination is to go to heaven. Some faiths believe that if a person does not confess their sins, they will go to purgatory to be purified. Nearly all Christian faiths believe in a hell or eternal torment for evil people. Let's contrast with traditional Judaism. Death is not the end. The Jewish afterlife is called Olam Haba, which translates to the world to come. Each sect of Judaism has slightly different interpretations, but they come down to a few basic things. There is a resurrection. There can be a form of reincarnation, which we talked about last week. There can be temporary, but not eternal punishment. That is not eternal punishment. It's not a part of the Jewish faith. There is a Gan Eden, or a spiritual Garden of Eden, something Messiah Yeshua also speaks about, which is mistranslated in Greek as paradise. But have you ever asked yourself, what does God have planned for the future of humanity? I do it all the time. I've been doing it since I was a child. It is no mystery. It's not some deep hidden secret that only the wealthy and the wise and the wizards have hidden in secret vaults. You have to say certain words like abracadabra, which, by the way, is a Jewish word, a Jewish phrase. Abracadabra, to be able to get the amazing things to unravel and to have the doors of the temple open and the mysteries revealed. That's not what happens. Our Father has revealed these things in writing, and he asks each of us to seek him out with an open mind and to follow his ways, and he has promised he will share eternity with us and reveal to us things that the human mind hasn't even begun to contemplate. Many of us, and by that I mean some of us, choose not to listen to the Creator. But instead, when we read our Bibles or we read our Holy Scriptures, we open them up and we bring in our own perceptions into the Holy Scriptures. And then there are others throughout history who have been disillusioned by understanding the Holy Scriptures, or just downright anti-Semitic. And they created fanciful worlds where humanity has outgrown religion. In these fictional narratives, there's no place for God. Yet surprisingly, some stories add multiple gods, which is a complete contradiction if you ask me, just as the pagans once believed. In their visions of the future, there are spaceships, space stations, vast ocean liners which travel between planets and galaxies through space gates, wormholes, or just faster than light travel. They envision struggles between good and evil aliens with laser cannons and force fields, or my personal favorite, I'm sorry, lightsabers. There's always war and domination. Empires and rebels fighting for freedom now through all of eternity. But what does the Torah say? I'll tell you. The Torah says this. Our God said, when he comes to live with us, humanity will study war no more. Many times and in many places, a person is told they will be gathered to their people. Some sins are punished by being cut. Some sinners and some sins, some actions that we commit will cause us to be cut off from our people. Karet. I'll say it slowly so we can understand it as a new ka reat. So karet. And that's what we see in Genesis 17 and in Exodus 31, verse 14. You will be cut off from your people. The prophets from Moses to Nehemiah speak clearly of life after death and a world to come. And it picks up speed in the books of Daniel, and it carries from Daniel all the way to Nehemiah. If you read the Holy Scriptures, and I mean really, truly read them, without reframing God's visions into our heaven and hell visions, we see a completely different destiny for humanity. Rabbi Yeshua, during his ministry in Judea, often said things which challenged the thinking of the people. Why? Because the people were not being fed from the scriptures. He didn't introduce radical new concepts which contradicted the Torah. As some people say in our modern times, we reinterpret the Messiah Yeshua, and we say, oh, he was a radical who changed the way everything was. That is completely false. Rather, he pointed out things to the people that were not being taught from their own scriptures. One of his most remarkable statements dealt with the patriarchs of the faith. He said, and I quote, Yeshua said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those considered worthy to reach the Olam Haba and the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. For they can no longer die because they are like angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But at the burning bush, even Moses revealed that the dead are raised when he calls Adonai the God, and when he calls Adonai the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now he is God not of the dead, but of the living, for to him they are all living." I just wonder how many of us really truly take those words to heart. Really understand that God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. For all the beautiful mysticism our ancestors have created over the years, there is a much more sublime beauty that we have yet to fully explore in the treasure trove given to us in the Torah. Messiah Yeshua also said, and I'm going to repeat it, he is the God not of the dead, but of the living, for here to him they are all living. That should completely change our framework of thinking. The destination of humanity is not simply to die and disappear into the darkness. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob live surrounded by generations of their children. Rachel weeps for her children. Didn't say wept, says weeps for her children, and Adonai comforts her. The spirit of Elijah rested upon Yohanan the Immerser and is destined to appear again. Some of us would call that a form of reincarnation. So too is the spirit of Moses. The message of the prophets is that humanity's future in the Olam Haba will begin here on earth. The redemption and the messianic age is for those living in flesh and blood on the earth. And it will include marriage, children, and even seniors. The amazing thing about it is, we read these scriptures, you'll see that God thinks about the elderly sitting down watching children play in the streets. There will also be growing of crops. Animals once feared will eat grasses and shrubs, much like our cattle do today. There will be, of course, rebellious factions on earth during that time, bent on destroying the peaceful children of Israel, but they will have to contend with a different kind of army, resurrected divine sons of God, the angels of heaven, and the Lord himself. Am I making this up? No, it's all in the prophets. The messianic monarchy will rule not only the nations, but the elements as they restore the earth to a state seen only in the Garden of Eden at creation. And what about those Yeshua said would be resurrected from the dead and no longer married to one another, and who are like angels and are sons of God? Well, that, my friends, that is an amazing future. And that is revealed in the Brit Hadashah of the New Testament and the narratives of the Torah and beyond the scope of Zechariah's writings. What I'm saying is, the same God who wrote the Torah wrote the Brit Hadashah, wrote the New Testament, and gave us more details, as he has been doing since the beginning when he first asked Moses to come up on the mountain, sit down, and write down the history of your people. Tonight, we will venture into the Olam Haba as the guardian of Israel reveals life in our near future. And now, let us read the conclusion of the book of Zechariah.
Zechariah 10, verse 1. Ask Adonai for rain in spring. Adonai makes the storm clouds and will give rain, showers, and plants of the field to everyone. The idols utter deceit and diviners see lies. They relate false dreams and comfort in vain. Therefore, the people wander like sheep, afflicted because there is no shepherd. My anger burns against the shepherds, and I will punish the leaders. Adonai Zavaoth cares for his flock, the house of Judah. He will make them his valiant steed in battle. From Judah will come the cornerstone, from him the tent peg, from him the battle bow, and from him every leader together. They will be like mighty men treading down muddy streets in war. They will fight because Adonai is with them and will put horsemen to shame. I will strengthen the house of Judah and save the house of Joseph. I will bring them back, for I have compassion on them. They will be as though I had never spurned them, for I am Adonai their God, and I will answer them. The Ephraimites will be like a warrior. Their hearts will be glad as with wine. Their children will see and be glad. Their hearts will rejoice in Adonai. I will signal for them and gather them. Surely I will redeem them, and they will be as numerous as before. Though I scatter them among the peoples, they will remember me in distant places. They and their children will survive and return. I will restore from the land of Egypt and gather them from Assyria. I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon till there is no room for them. He will cross the turbulent sea and calm its raging waves. All the depths of the Nile will dry up, the pride of Assyria brought down, the scepter of Egypt removed. So I will strengthen them in Adonai, and they will walk in his name. It is a declaration of Adonai.
Zechariah 11. Open your gates, Lebanon. Fire will devour your cedars. Wail, cypress tree, for the cedar has fallen. Those majestic ones are devastated. Wail, oaks of Bashan, for the thick forest is cut down. Listen to the wailing of the shepherds, for their glory is destroyed. Listen to the roaring of young lions, for Jordan's thickets are ruined. Thus said Adonai, my God, shepherd the flock marked for slaughter. Their buyers slay them and go unpunished. Those who sell them say, blessed be Adonai, for I am rich. Their own shepherds do not spare them. I will no longer have compassion on the inhabitants of the land. It is a declaration of Adonai. Behold, I will hand everyone over to his neighbor and his king. They will devastate the land, and I will not deliver them from their hand. So I pastured the flock for the slaughter, especially the afflicted of the flock. Then I took two staffs. One I called favor, and the other I called union, and I pastured the flock. Next, I disposed of the three shepherds in 1 month, for my soul was impatient with them, and their soul also detested me. Then I said, I will not shepherd you. Let the dying die, let the perishing perish, and let those who are left eat one another's flesh. So I took my staff called favor and broke it to pieces in order to break my covenant that I made with all people. It was broken on that day. The afflicted of the flock, they were watching me, knew that this was the word of Adonai. Then I said to them, if it seems good to you, pay me my wages. But if not, don't bother. So they weighed out my wages, 30 pieces of silver. Then Adonai said to me, throw it to the potter, that exorbitant price at which they valued me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of Adonai to the potter. Then I broke my second staff called union in order to break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. Again, Adonai said to me, once more, take up the equipment of a foolish shepherd. For behold, I am going to raise up a shepherd in the land who will not care for the dying, seek out the young or heal the injured or nourish the healthy. Instead, he will eat the meat of the choice sheep, even tearing off their hooves. Woe to the worthless shepherd who deserts the flock. May his sword fell his arm and his right eye. May his arm be all withered and his right eye totally blinded. Amen.
Zechariah 12. Jerusalem, the burden of the word of Adonai concerning Israel, a declaration of Adonai, who stretched out the heavens, laid the foundation of the earth, and formed the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of reeling to all surrounding peoples when they besiege Jerusalem as well as Judah. Moreover, in that day I will make Jerusalem a massive stone for all the people. All who try to lift it will be cut to pieces. Nevertheless, all the nations of the earth will be gathered together against her. In that day, it is the declaration of Adonai, I will strike every horse with confusion and its rider with madness. I will keep my eyes in the house of Judah, but will blind every horse of the peoples. Then the leaders of Judah will say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength throughout the nights of Tevaot, their God. And that day I will make the leaders of Judah like a fire pot in a wood pile, like a burning torch among sheaves. They will devour on the right and on the left all the surrounding peoples, yet Jerusalem will remain in her place in Jerusalem. Adonai will save the tents of Judah first, so that the honor of the house of David and the honor of the inhabitants of Jerusalem will not exceed that of Judah. In that day, Adonai will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem so that the weakest among them that day will be like David, and the house of David will be like God, like the angel of Adonai before them. It will happen in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Then I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication when they will look toward me whom they pierced. They will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn. In that day there will be a great mourning in Jerusalem, mourning like Hadad Rimon in the valley of Megiddo. The land will mourn clan by clan, the clan of the house of David by itself and their wives by themselves, the clan of the house of Nathan by itself and their wives by themselves, the clan of the house of Levi by itself and their wives by themselves, the clan of the Shimeites by itself and their wives by themselves. Each of the remaining clans will mourn by itself and their wives by themselves.
Zechariah 13, final cleansing from sin. In that day, a spring will be opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse from the sin and impurity. What happened that day is the declaration of Adonai Sevaoth, that I will erase the names of the idols from the land, and they will no longer be remembered. Furthermore, I will remove the prophets and the unclean spirit from the land. If is anyone prophesy his father and his mother to the whom was born, will say to him, you cannot live because you tell lies in the name of Adonai. When he prophesy to his own father and the mother, the ones who bore him will pierce him through. Therefore, in that day, each prophet will be ashamed of his vision when he prophesies. He will no longer wear a hairy mantle in order to deceive. But I will say, I'm not a prophet. I'm a farmer. I have been bond servant from my youth. Then someone will ask him, why there's wounds between your hands? And they will answer, those that I receive in my house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who was my companion, is a declaration of Adonai Sevaoth. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. I will turn my hand against the little ones. They will happen, is a declaration of Adonai. In the entire two land, third will be cut off and die, but the third will be left in. This third will bring through the fire. I'll refine them as a silver is refined, and I'll test them as a gold is test. They'll call my name, and I'll answer them. I'll say, there are my people, and they will answer, Adonai is my God.
Behold, a day of Adonai is coming when your plunder will be divided in your midst. I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to wage war. The city shall be captured, the houses ransacked, and the woman ravished. Half of the city will be exiled, but the remainder of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then Adonai will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in a day of battle. In that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which lies to the east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a huge valley. Half of the mountain will move toward the north and half of it toward the south. Then you will flee through my mountain valley, because the mountain valley will reach to Azel. Yes, you will flee like you fled from the earthquake in the days of King Uzziah of Judah. Then Adonai, my God, will come and all the Kadoshim with him. In that day, there will be no light, cold, or frost. It will be a day known only to Adonai, neither day nor night. Even in the evening time, there will be light. Moreover, in that day, living waters will flow from Jerusalem, half toward the eastern sea and half toward the western sea, both in the summer and in the winter. Adonai will then be king over all the earth. In that day, Adonai will be Echad, and his name Echad. The whole land, from Geba to Rimon, south of Jerusalem, will become like the Arabah. Jerusalem will be raised up and occupy her place from the Benjamin Gate to the place of the first gate to the corner gate and from the tower of Hananel to the king's wine presses. People will dwell in her, and no longer will there be a ban of destruction. Jerusalem will live in security. Now, this is the plague with which Adonai will strike all the peoples that wage war against Jerusalem. Their flesh will flat rot while they are standing on their feet. Their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouths. It will happen in that day that a great panic from Adonai will be among them. Each person will seize the hand of his neighbor, and they will attack each other. Even Judah will fight at Jerusalem. The wealth of all the surrounding peoples will be gathered together. An abundance of gold, silver, and apparel. A similar plague will strike the horse, the mule, the camel, the donkey, and all the animals in that camp. Then all the survivors from all the nations that attacked Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the king, Adonai Tzavaot, and to celebrate Sukkot. Furthermore, if any of the nations on earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the king, Adonai Tzavaot, they will have no rain. If the Egyptians do not go up and celebrate, they will have no rain. Instead, there will be the plague that Adonai, which will inflict on the nations and do not go up to celebrate Sukkot. This will be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not go up to celebrate Sukkot. In that day, holy to Adonai will be inscribed on the bells of the horses, and the pots in the house of Adonai will be like the sacred bowls in front of the altar. In fact, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah will be holy to Adonai Tzavaot, so that everyone who comes to sacrifice will take them and cook in them. In that day, there will no longer be a Canaanite in the house of Adonai Tzavaot.
Thank you to all the readers tonight. Wonderful book filled with amazing narratives. The thing that I find the most striking is that one day, that in particular, in chapter 14, we see that the nations will come up against Israel, the current nation of Israel that we see today. They will come up against them, and they will gather to fight. And they will be in for a rude surprise, because the Lord will come down with the Kedeshim, or the people, which Yeshua had said would be resurrected. They will come down with him, with the Messiah at that time, and they will strike the nations. And those nations that survive will hear about this horrible battle where all of their armor, all of their weaponry, everything that they have will be destroyed. And they will be eager to come up to Jerusalem for Sukkot. The other thing about it is that that mountain, if we look at the current map of Israel today, and we look at the Mount of Olives, it runs through the current platform, where the Al-Aqsa Mosque is right now. So that when that mountain is split in two, that whole platform, once celebrated by nations for centuries, will be split, fall into the crevice, into the valley, and a new mountain will be raised up. Jerusalem will be lifted up into a huge mountain, and a temple, a sanctuary, will be placed up there, not built by the Jewish remnant, but actually by the nations who will bring their resources to come and build the sanctuary up on that mountain. And then a stream will go out from there. Do you remember in Exodus, in when the tabernacle was built, how the glory of God came into the tabernacle and the priests were pushed out into the courtyard? And the same thing happened again when Solomon sacrificed all the animals and the glory of God came into the temple and the priests were not able to stand. They were pushed out into the courtyard. This time, the whole world will receive a stream of living water. It'll start out as a trickle coming from the throne, coming from inside the temple, and it will travel along the edges and then start to fall. And it'll fall, one stream will fall into the Mediterranean, and the other stream will fall into the south, crossing through the Dead Sea, what we call the current Dead Sea, and out to the ocean. And that stream will become a raging river, and it will begin to reform the earth, destroy all of that wreckage that we have underneath all of our oceans, and begin to bring back sea life in huge abundance. So, like I say, these chapters give us a picture of Olam Haba, and they also give us a picture of the redemption, how the people will be gathered to Israel, and they will be so numerous that they will go up as far as current day Lebanon and all the way down to the border of Egypt. So it's an amazing book. If you have not read it with us, take the time to listen to this podcast with your Bible, your preferred version, and study it. Thank you all for coming. Next week, we will begin the book of Malachi.
Thank you for joining us on our journey through Trei Asar, the 12 prophets. Join us each week as we look in detail at each of the 12 prophets. In the words of Malachi, then those who revere Adonai spoke with each other, and Adonai took notice and heard, and a scroll of remembrance was written before him for those who revere Adonai, even those who esteem his name. So they shall be mine, says Adonai Sabaoth, in the day I will make my own special possession. So I will spare them as one spares his son serving him. Malachi 3:16 through 17.